The chief matter of concern at present devolves around the remote cottage, which is believed by some to be the birthplace of President Hoover's great-grandmother, a Miss McFinney. This cottage may have been left to the Presbyterian minister or the Catholic parish priest over 100 years ago. Local opinions on the topic are fraught with tension and can hardly be voiced at the meetings of the Development Association. The members hope that the new owner will now sell the cottage to the American McFinney Foundation as a heritage centre and tourist attraction. What is not generally known is that the new owner is Fonsy Doherty, the association's own chairman. Ballylennon, 1956.
Hello, Ballylennon call office.
Is that you, Vera?
Were you expecting Tony Curtis, Peg?
Vera, I'm taking tomorrow morning off from dancing attendance on our new Puritan charge. He's out now, capering around sports field in a wee pair of cotton drawers. Would you ever come with me into Letterkenny on the bus tomorrow?
Well, I suppose Muriel could watch the switch. There's not many calls of a Saturday morning.
You're too conscientious, Vera. Couldn't you take sick?
And be seen parading round the shops of Letterkenny by the supervisor of the automatic exchange?
Get along now. Wouldn't it be gas?
I was thinking of trying on a new get-up in the Monster House. The seat of this skirt's worn out sitting at the phone. What are you after yourself?
I want to look up something in the library.
What's that?
The Catholic Directory. To see if there's any place I could apply for a suitable job.
Oh.
There'd be murdered on here in the parish house, Vera, and I've no intention of being put behind bars. What did he tell me to do today? Only to serve the pudding from the left hand, not the right hand side. It's etiquette, says he.
Has he you waiting at table?
Oh, and you should see the little frilly apron and the cap.
He's not wearing.
Well, no, I'm wearing the apron. But I wouldn't put it past him with all the fancy regouts he has for himself. Not to speak of the embroidered stole his mammy's after sending you from Cork. Are you on, Vera?
Very good, Peg. I'll see you at the bus stop for Nancy's Willie Arms. Goodbye now.
Bye, Vera.
Oh, hello, Miss Sweeney. Doing a bit of research.
Oh, Mrs. Hawthorne. Yes, I was just noting down some recipes for Father Flatley. There now. That's it.
It's a very weighty recipe book, Mrs. Beaton, I suppose.
No, it's the Catholic Directory. It has all the rules and relegations of what you can eat on a Friday or a holy day of acclimation, like fish.
It sounds so complicated. If Christmas Day falls on a Friday, I suppose you couldn't serve Father O'Flatley with turkey. But then the season of rebirth and renewal would take precedence over penance, wouldn't it? Oh, I want to borrow these two gramophone records for a fortnight. Yes, sacred music for the Nativity, and this one's Songs of New Birth. Thank you.
There's a little chance of new births in Ballylennon, from what I hear, with the palpation falling all the time.
One never knows.
There you are now. Next, please.
You took down all the menus you needed, Miss Sweeney.
I did. Father O'Flatley is very particular about his diet. Poor Canon Freel now, a slice of a Shinabile bacon or a cut of a cod on a holy day followed by sago pudding and he'd be thrilled to bits.
Library, please.
Oh, we shouldn't be talking in here.
Are you going downtown?
I am. I've to buy a pair of shoes. Oh, mind that door now. I'll be careful about the fish this time. I had to wear the last ones for a week before I could put them on. You're early with the Christmas music.
Oh, yes. But I think it's message appropriate at any time. Has Father O'Flatley tidied up everything following the sad demise of the late canon?
Oh, he's going through oceans of papers, oceans of them. In the end, I think he'd be throwing it all on the fire.
It's very easy in such circumstances to discard important documents, things with a historical value. I suppose you wouldn't know if there were any papers relating to a bequest of a property at Drumskittrick, an old cottage.
I don't know if there were papers, but poor Canon Freel had the story of it.
Years and years ago. Oh, it was before the famine, I remember him saying, as he swallowed his mutton and turnips. This old man was dying, and the rain pouring in through the leaky thatch, and the minister was away. He was one of your crowd, away on business somewhere. And this old fellow took a notion that the minister couldn't be bothered with them. So he got into a terrible sweat and sent for a neighbour who could write a letter. And the neighbour wrote down for him that he was leaving his house to the parish priest and not to his own minister. For he had no children and all belonging to him had emigrated to America.
How very sad.
Oh, well, it would have been. But the canon said that it caused a terrible scandal, and when the old man died roaring, the minister wouldn't bury him in their graveyard, so the hearse was turned around for Ballylennon, and the parish priest at the time saw to the interment.
Oh, it suited him to do that, of course, since he was gaining a property.
A dirty hovel, with hens and ducks rambling in and out. No use to anyone, I heard the canon say.
Really? Well, I must be off. Can I offer you a lift back to Ballylennon?
Oh, no thanks, Mrs. Hawthorne. I'm meeting Miss McConkie for a chat on the bus.
Do you like your wee cage in the window, Ozymandias? It's lovely and sunny, isn't it? Does it remind you of Lanzarote or Santa Cruz? And now, I think a little music for your new friend. Isn't it wonderful we don't have to wind up the gramophone nowadays? Just switch it on. And I'm going to sit here and finish my jar of pickled gherkins.
Vivian, I've just had a very upsetting letter from Mr. Cockworthy of Milford. Oh, are you resting?
We're meditating.
Well, I don't want to disturb you, but he says he requires a reply by return of post. It was he who expected to take over your post as organist. And I thought we were going to stop him.
Sit down, Samuel. We are not moving till this record's over.
Mr. Cockworthy expresses grave disapprobation because he has been misled in an unseemly way in the matter of the organship.
Organship? An unpaid and entirely voluntary position. Does he not know that you've decided not to accept the call to the Scottish ministry? And that naturally, I say naturally, it would be expected that I'd remain with you and continue my musical duties as always.
Always. Well, that's what's so upsetting, Vivian. He thinks that you have no special right to the organship just because you happen to be my wife.
Turn off that music. I can't think. I was organist long before I became engaged to you. And much good does it do me.
Oh, no, Vivian. Music means everything to you. And you make something spiritual out of the most familiar compositions. Last Sunday, Mrs. Dinsmore remarked in the hearing of several people that your playing of Now Shout Be All Jehovah's Praise was something special. I forgot to tell you that.
I'll help you draft a reply to that letter. And there's no need to get upset over a person like Mr. Clotworthy, who can hardly pick out a bide with me on the harmonium with one finger.
Vivian.
And Mr. Dinsmore mentioned to me, when I was taking down the sheaf of wheat after the harvest Thanksgiving, that all the elders are delighted you decided not to go to Scotland.
Scotland. You know my view on that, Vivian. They're only delighted because no one else applied to replace me here, and I didn't decide not to go. I was rejected.
They don't know that. You're here and you're occupying a leading position here, and you'll make the most of it. Now, I've been thinking over what Miss Sweeney told me outside the library.
I only met her once. She came round one evening with a lettuce. The late Canon Freel asked her to because he heard the slugs had eaten all of mine. She struck me as being a very nice person.
She obviously had no idea what was at stake, or she wouldn't have told me. If there's a letter from that Mr. McFinney bequeathing the cottage, there should be deeds accompanying it. But we have the deeds. Do they have similar deeds?
Deeds, do they?
We'll have to find out. Miss Sweeney said the new curate was busy sorting the late canon's papers. I'd love to look through them, for archival reasons. Perhaps Mr. Doherty would give me an introduction. I hardly met Father O'Flatley at the canon's funeral. Or perhaps it would be more appropriate for you to see him.
Me?
Ballylennon call office. Hello, number 11. Oh, would you hold your whistle, Tandy? Can't you see? I'm on the phone.
Hello, Mr. Conkey.
Oh.
You have the numbers all off by magic.
Are you looking for my sister, Mr. Doherty? Because she's gone out on a message, and I'm keeping an eye on the shop and the dog.
Well, I was, but you'd be able to tell her that. I had a ring for Mrs. Hawthorne.
Oh, I know, Mr. Doherty. Didn't I put you through?
You did, of course. Well, the gist of it was that her husband wants a chat with the new curate, and would I introduce him? And I said I would.
Hmm?
As a matter of fact, when she said that it was her husband who was interested in historical documents, I was certain it's the deeds of the McFinney Cottage they have in mind. So, I'm a step ahead of them, because I know what papers Father of Flatley has, and they're quite in order. They said the church. But they didn't say what church. So he or she can look at those papers till the house content, and not a bit of good will it do them.
Well, I'll tell all that to my sister. She's gone out to buy a new roller towel for the sink and a jar for the bed. Gard Gallagher's moving in this evening.
Don't you be mollycoddling him now. It's Gotham hot water bottles he was rearing.
Ah, you'd want him to be comfortable.
He'll be looking for the hills of Donegal Suite in the Swilly Arms next, complete with hot and cold running water and a bidet.
Oh,
oh, saving your presence, Mr. Connolly. Whichever put me through to the parish house, and I'll tell Father O'Flatty to expect a ring from that lady.
Right you are, Mr. Doherty.
Won't you take a seat, Mr. Hawthorne? Miss McSweeney...
Sweeney,
here'll be making a pot of Earl Grey, but perhaps you'd prefer a glass of Amontillado. A former parishioner sent me a case from Woodforbourne's. They import it direct, you know.
Oh, no, thank you, Father O'Flatley. The tea will be sufficient.
Do you take sugar, Reverend?
Yes, thank you, Miss Sweeney.
I'll throw in a fistful of Lipton's to give that stuff a bit of body. I won't be a minute.
Thank you. It's my wife who's interested in local history. She wrote a booklet on Ballylennon past and present shortly after she became primary teacher here.
It's always the outsider who gets things done, isn't it? Are you a local man yourself?
Oh, no, County Down. But I went to Assemblies College in Belfast. I take it from your mode of speech that you aren't from Donegal.
Good God, no. I'm from Cork. I was sent here temporarily when the late canon, the Lord be good to him, was under the weather. Now, I think I know what you're looking for. It's the deeds of that cottage. Mr. Doherty said it was a delicate matter. The wee city people are used to coming to the point without deliberation. Isn't that so?
Well, my wife, through her historical researches, found that the McFinneys of Drumskittrick, who were members of our congregation, left that property to the church at the time of the great emigration to West Virginia.
The chapter and verse of it is in this copy of the deeds. The church is specified, and the church, if you'll forgive the blunt opinion, is the church of which I'm now curate in charge. You're welcome to read it, read it.
Oh, it's the exact wording of the copy which I have in the vestry. Oh, this is a matter which could be open to interpretation.
But it's only of academic interest now. I inherited a substantial parish debt here, and one of my first actions was to sell that property.
Oh!
I don't know who the buyer was, but Mr. Doherty negotiated the sale, and I'm well satisfied.
I must confess I knew nothing of this. Neither did my...
Well, why would you? And you needn't be troubling yourself with it now. It is out of your hands.
There's a bullock broken into the kitchen garden, Father. You'll have to excuse me till I hunt him out of it before he has the cabbages all. There's your tea, Reverend. I went easy on the Lord Grey, or whatever his name is, because I wouldn't want the whole town saying it was I destroyed the lining of your stock.
Mr. Doherty was on the phone, and he alluded to his hope that the recent purchaser might resell to a descendant of the American McFinneys. Naturally, the Development Association is keen to see a tourist attraction in the somewhat backward region.
Regent, my wife attends all, or almost all, the meetings, but I don't recall her mentioning anything about this.
As you like meetings everywhere, I suppose the business is done in the corridor outside. No, there's another thing. Mr. Doherty was saying there's a very important lady, a big noise, will we call her, coming from the McFinney clan in the U.S. He felt she should be looked after by a sympathetically disposed person. Well, she'd be one of your crowd. Coming from the southern states, wouldn't she be a Baptist?
Baptist? We're Presbyterians.
But aren't we all the one?
Well, no, not exactly. There are theological distinctions. We stop short of total immersion.
But she wouldn't be wanting to immerse herself here. No. We were thinking that you'd be the ideal man to hobnob with the likes of her. Oh, she's very well connected, I've no doubts about it. Pots of money. We had Baptists living near us in Cork. Very nice people. They owned a chain of dry goods stores and belonged to the yacht club. You can't go much higher than that.
The stairs are quite steep, God, but you'll get used to them.
Build me a stairway to paradise.
We had a light switch put in top and bottom when we got in the electric.
Ah, great man, the electric, Mr.
All the modern conveniences. Have you only the one suitcase?
I left the rest of my belongings at the barracks. They say the renovations to the living quarters will be done by January.
Oh, well, this is your room. You can put your bag on the bed. Oh, that's my sister back from Killiecrumper. Our dog, you know, wee Napatandy. He keeps straying and we have to retrieve him.
Didn't I find him myself up there the first time? The cook was looking after
him. That's right. And I think the cook has ruined him. We give him the remains of what we eat ourselves and he turns his nose up to it. Oh, excuse me. Vera. Vera, if he won't keep quiet, shut him into the phone booth.
I'm doing that now, Muriel. Come on, good job. In you go. Come on,
Nora. God, gather us here, Vera. I'm just showing over the house.
I'm on my way up, Muriel. Come on,
Nora. Well, I hope you have everything you need here, God.
It's a nice room, right enough.
Yes, this is where my poor father used to lie. The Lord have mercy on him. In his later years, when he wasn't so well, he'd a little bell there by the side of the bed, and he'd ring it if he needed something.
Oh, the chapel bells would ring in the little valley town.
Oh, God.
And the song that they were singing was...
You're very welcome, guard. I hear you're in fine voice. I'm sorry I was out when you arrived, but Snappertandy took a fit of the wanderlust. Oh, I brought a tin of Reynolds Doggo in from the shop, Muriel. He might take to that. And he'll give his dish a wee scour out.
He'll have been eating off silver plate up there.
Excuse me, God Gallagher. The water closet is at the foot of the stairs. There was something about the water pressure when we were having it installed, so it couldn't be upstairs.
Well, that's because the new water tower was built too low. Water won't flow uphill.
Well, no.
Well, they should have thought of that.
Well, and my sister and I lie in that room across the landing.
That one?
That's only for information. Well, we leave you now, guard, to arrange your things whatever way you want. Come down any time. We'll be making a cup of tea before going to bed.
I'll give an opportunity to his supper in the phone booth. Then he won't be annoying you.
Thanks, ladies.
Build me a stairway to paradise.
Hello?
Number, please?
Will you give me the parish house, Miss McConkie?
Hold on.
Hello?
I'm putting you through.
Good morning, Father. Fancy Doherty here, auction rooms. I believe that gentleman called round to see you about the, you know...
Gentleman's right. Well-spoken and a good education. He's like someone I'd meet at home.
And you showed him the deeds?
Without any ado. He said he had an exact copy, and I told him that was irrelevant, because I'd sold the place anyway, so there was no more to be said.
Did he ask who bought it off you?
I said I didn't know, because I don't. Are you in a position to tell me?
No. The purchaser asked me to keep it a dead secret, probably for tax reasons, you know. Oh, did you hear anything more from the late Canon's niece?
No. I think she must have decided to forget it.
Well, she hasn't. She must have found out some way that I conducted the sale of her uncle's effects, because I have a letter from her, an English stamp, saying they were to come to her, and that she'd go to law if she didn't get them.
A nun can't go to law.
Yes, well, you said that before. But I thought I'd let you know. I describe her as taking up the poisoned pen.
Ignore it. We've nothing to fear from that quarter. Goodbye now, Mr. Doherty.
Good luck, Father.
Will he ever come out there?
He's been in there 25 minutes by the clock.
I never thought he'd come home at dinner hour. It isn't in the agreement.
You can't stop your lodger dropping in during the daytime.
He has a right. It isn't that I need to go. But the thought of him sitting in there reading the Vindicator when I might want to go. And he'd be late back to the barracks.
The sergeant's away this week, I hear, taking a course in time and motion study in Ballyshannon. You could say the same of your man inside.
Oh, who'd be using the phone at dinner hour?
Ballylennon call office.
Hello, Miss McConkie. Is Gord Gallagher in?
He is.
May I speak to him, please?
He's engaged.
Oh.
I can't disturb him.
Should I knock on the door?
You can't do that. Can I take a message, Mrs. Hawthorne?
All I wanted to ask him was about the arrangements for the protest demonstration against the closing of the railway. There'll be traffic. I know three people at least who'll be coming by car from Milford and Rosapenna.
I'll pass on your message, Mrs. Hawthorne. I'm sure he'll give you a jangle.
But where is he?
I can't answer for him, Mrs. Hawthorne. Goodbye now.
Not many at mass this morning, Vera. Isn't the weather chronic? I've had a throat hanging over me the last 3 days.
There's a lot of clatter in the church. It's a wonder Father O'Flaherty could hear the responses.
There's one thing he's heard which gave me a big drop, I can tell you.
No. What was it?
Duke in here under the arch, and I'll tell you. He told me he was expecting a call from the bishop. The bishop will be telephoning with some news, you see. If you take the call, Miss McSweeney, be sure to impress him with your style of address.
Style of address?
I will, of course, Father, I said. What will he be looking for? Oh, said he, giving his hands a dry rinse. I expect to be hearing some good news. Well, Vera, what could that be? Only the bishop promoting him to parish priest.
Could you call that good news, Peck?
Well, it would be for him, but not for me, because it'd mean he'd be staying on. Anyway, there was no call. But a day or two after, he put his head through the kitchen door when I was sitting in the middle of my tea. He had a letter, and the way it was hanging out of his hand, I knew it was bad news for him.
He'd been sent back to his former curacy.
If only it was that. Miss McSweeney, were there any objects belonging to the late canon unsold at the auction, said he. Nothing you'd bother about, I said, only a few dress shirts and a framed photograph of the Eucharistical Congress in 1934. Oh, said he, looking downcast. Was there so? And he went back into his study. Oh, shush now, here he's coming out of the sacristy with Mr. Roddy.
Good morning, Father. Morning, Mr. Roddy.
Hello, Miss McConkie.
Are you not gone back yet to the parish house, Miss McSweeney?
Sweeney, Father. I have your kipper under the grill, Father, and the new electric kettle your mother sent you from Cork will bile in 2 shakes.
Well, I'm going back there now.
I'll be back before you've had time to say the grace before meals, Father.
Good day, Father.
Well, Peg, I was dusting his desk when he was out on a cross-country run. I couldn't help glancing at the letter because it was staring at me in typewriting. The Palace Letter Kenny was at the top. I have a letter from Sister Bridget and Roehampton informing me that you disposed of valuable articles, the property of the late Canon Free, which are to be left to her.
You have it all off.
I glanced at it a couple of times. I am instructing you to reimburse the sister, for I understand that you took the liberty of selling the goods by auction.
Oh, but he only sold them near to the parish.
But that's not all. And you will reimburse the parish from your own pocket. His own pocket. And the letter finished up. I have to tell you that I take a very poor view of this matter. And the letter was signed, Aloysius Donegal. Yes. And a big cross beside the name.
The bishop. Oh, he won't get the promotion now, Peg. You may rest easy about that. And we'd have to get a new parish priest. So you'll be staying on.
My fingers are crossed. I'd better hurry after him.
Can't he wait for his breakfast? Or get it himself?
There's 2 kippers. One of them is filleted, and I want to be sure he gets the other one.
Be seeing you, Vera.
Right, bye-bye, Peg.
They call me mean.
Oh, the Lord save us.
Oh, I haven't slept a wink. He keeps singing the one thing over and over. That's vocal exercises, I suppose.
Oh, I'll exercise his vocals for him in the morning.
Should I get up and knock on his door?
No, he might come out and see you in your simmet. Oh, there's an upper Tandy joining in.
Where is he? In the phone booth. That's where I shut him in every night since we got him back to Betty. Oh,
two John McCormicks competing for the operatic prize. Oh, there's the bigger one of them stop now. We can count the seconds again till he starts. I suppose it's as good as counting sheep.
I heard a noise there. Yes, sir, they did.
No. I think I heard him coming out on the landing.
Shh, don't speak. He might be listening at the door.
No. I think I heard his foot on the stairs. He must be going down
to the toilet for a read of the vindicator.
I'll open the door a crack.
Don't open it till he's well down the stairs.
But the light's on the landing. He's halfway down. I can see the top of his head.
Who's the good wee dog? Are you a good wee dog? Are you wanting a wee run?
Oh, he's going to let an upper Tandy out for a run.
I'll let him. They both need a run, if you ask me.
Oh, are you locked into the
Help! Help! Get up! Get up! Get up!
Get up! Get up! Oh, I better. Where's my dressing gown?
Run into the kitchen, guard. He'll follow you, and you can let him out the back door.
Oh, get up. That dog
has
me killed.
Oh,
I need a doctor.
Should we go down?
You should ring for the ambulance.
All right, I'll go down.
No, I can't.
Why not, Vera?
I can see him in the kitchen. He's in his underpants.
Oh, isn't that a disgrace?
Gather her. The switchboard in the alcove to your left. Lift the receiver. That's it. And push the brown plug into the socket.
I think so.
All right. Now wind the handle on the side of the cabinet.
Right.
That'll put you through to the automatic exchange. And when they reply, you can ask for 999.
In Ballylennon by Christopher Fitzsimon, Fonsy Doherty was played by T.P. McKenna, Muriel McConkie by Margaret Darcy, and Vera McConkie, Stella McCusker. Vivian Hawthorne was Onya McCartney, the Reverend Hawthorne, Gerard Murphy, Peg Sweeney, Marcella Reardon, Guard Gallagher, John Hewitt, and Father O'Flatley, John Guiney. The theme music was played by Stephanie Hughes, and the series was directed by Owen O'Callaghan.